This talk was given by Linda Shinji Hoffman at Zen Mountain Monastery. Shinji is a senior lay student in the Mountains and Rivers Order. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you would like to make a donation or find out more about our various programs, visit us online at zmm.org. Thanks for listening.
Good afternoon. My name is Shinji, and my teacher, Shugen Roshi, asked me to do this talk. Welcome all of you who are also on one continuous thread with us, been with us this week. Under the ice on the pond, far under, tucked into soft mud are fish. They live in the cold, cold pond, even in winter. Where would they go? Fish live in water, in salt water, fresh water, muddy water, weedy water. They find their way. Zhuangzi, an early Chinese Taoist who lived between the 4th and 3rd century BCE, before Buddhism arrived in China, wrote, "Fish enjoy water. Humans enjoy the Tao. Enjoying water, the fish stick to the pond and find all they need to survive there. Enjoying the Tao, people do nothing and their lives are fulfilled." Once Buddhism arrived in China and encountered Taoism, the school of Chan Buddhism evolved, and many centuries later, Chan influenced the development of Zen Buddhism in Japan. So we have deep Taoist roots. Fish enjoy water. Humans enjoy the Tao. So what is the Tao? The way. In a collection of writings, these are called the Unknown Teachings of Lao Tzu. It's a collection of like short paragraphs. This is number 31. "The Tao doesn't come and go. It is always present everywhere, just like the sky. If your mind is clouded, you won't see it. But that doesn't mean it isn't there. All misery is created by the activity of the mind. Can you let go of words and ideas, attitudes, and expectations? If so, then the Tao will loom into view. Can you be still and look inside? If so, then you will see that the truth is always available, always responsive." When I read that, I was like, whoa, that's just what we're being taught over and over and over. All misery is created by the activity of the mind. So it's not created by the mind, but by the activity, this activity of words and ideas attitudes, expectations. But fish freely enjoy water. That's what he said. They don't get caught, right, by words and ideas, expectations, and old stories. And what about humans, right? Enjoying the Tao, people do nothing, and their lives are fulfilled. So what is he saying? That sounds great. But what is this do nothing? And how do we enjoy? What is enjoy? Is it coming and going? Like just some joy, a momentary joy? Or is it something deeper and more continuous? An enjoyment that's somewhere deep inside us that we carry. So when he says do nothing, he's certainly not talking about daily things that we need to do. Cook food, clean up, make a living, wash. As long as we're in a body, there's always something we need to do. Even meditating, right, is doing something. And some of us are scientists or artists or poets and activists and teachers and therapists. Like good things. That's doing something. So what is this doing nothing? There's something here for us. Zhuangzi, of course, is not just saying sit and be a lump of mud. Taoism has informed so much of the Zen school. And we're not like a do-nothing school. We work hard. There's a work ethic to this practice. There's right effort, which is one of the paramitas. Like we are working. We're not doing nothing. And even our zazen instructions, we don't just sit and stare out, let our mind drift, follow stories. We see a thought, we're active, and we let it go. Our practice is to notice when we're making up a story. Because making up a story is leaving. I remember I didn't get that at all. But I can recall when I first started practicing, I was in a lot of pain. And I would welcome the story. I would like hope that I could have a good story so I could just check out. But that's not what we're supposed to be doing. And that doesn't help us. Our instructions are to see the thought and let it go. Notice the content. Where are we always going? Don't judge, but just come back to our zazen practice. So when we're sitting, we're not actually doing nothing because we are awake, right? We're conscious. We feel our bodies. We know if there's tension. We know if they're relaxed. We know if we're at ease or if we're in pain or tense. Like, we are aware. And what about, like, this doing nothing when, I was thinking, when you perceive something really beautiful, and it just takes your breath away, and there's no other thought in between. that moment. You're fully immersed. Are you doing something? Or when your face just breaks into a smile of some recognition, there's no self-consciousness then. Or like, there'll be times I'll be sitting at breakfast, especially after a week of session, and reading the paper, and something like something that happened to one person, and I just feel it, right? We all have this experience. And tears will be like falling down my face. I'll be trying to tell my husband like what I read, and I can't even explain it. So is that doing something, or is that doing nothing? Zhuangzi recounted this experience. He and his friend were strolling along the dam of the Hao River when Zhuangzi said, "See how the minnows come out and dart around where they please? That's what fish really enjoy." His friend said, "You're not a fish. How do you know what fish enjoy?" Zhuangzi said, "You're not I. So how do you know that I don't know what fish enjoy?" His friend said, "I'm not you. So I certainly don't know what you know. On the other hand, you certainly are not a fish. So that still proves that you don't know what fish enjoy." Zhuangzi said, "Let's go back to your original question, please. You asked me how I know what fish enjoy. So you already knew that I knew it when you asked the question. I know it by standing here beside the Hao River." Zhuangzi teaches with some humor, but he's saying, "I find enjoyment in watching the fish. I am fish swimming in water. I am water flowing with the fish swimming, fully alive, present to all life." We all have that experience of knowing something. You just know it without thinking, completely. I'm sure most of you have looked over into a pond and delighted in fish swimming. Did you ever feed them bits of bread and watch as they break the surface, especially the big carp with their mouth wide open and they go for the little pieces of bread? Where does this delight come from? How do we experience the joy of fish swimming? Do you feel it in your body? Can you see their iridescence reflecting, shining like the stars in the winter sky? Where in our body do we feel joy? Where in our body do we feel pain? We never ask, like, where are the fish going and who's in charge and what are they really doing and is one fish better than the other? Those are questions we ask about humans. Isn't that odd? Dogen writes in Genjo Koan, A fish swims in the ocean, and no matter how far it swims, there is no end to the water. A bird flies in the sky, and no matter how far it flies, there is no end to the air. However, the fish and the bird have never left their element. They swim without end. Is there an end to your zazen? Dogen continues that paragraph and says, "Know that water is life and air is life. The bird is life and the fish is life. Life must be the bird and life must be the fish." We can experience this great life of water and air and bird and fish standing beside the Esopus River, the Hudson River, or even the Frog Pond. We don't have to go anywhere. Right here, right now, this session, right here. As long as we don't bring stories and expectations with us, as long as we aren't trying to figure out ahead where we are going. As Dogen said, this bird or this fish will not find its way or its place when it tries to reach the end of its element before moving in it. We can't know where we're going, where we want to go, what we want to get to. It won't work. We only limit ourselves. Dogen says the fish covers a large area when the need is large, and a small area when the need is small. Meeting one thing is mastering it. Doing one practice is practicing completely. Roshi mentioned in his talk that the breath as a practice is complete and whole. One practice, practicing completely. Completely one with the Tao, with the way, with Buddha nature, with our life. We meet the fullness of each moment when it touches you. And you know it, practicing one thing, not adding anything to the reality of that one thing that's right in front of us. Not trying to gain something. This is practicing completely in our seat, period. After period, just sitting zazen, swimming in zazen, where there are no limits, no fixed shape, only movement. So this doing nothing of Zhuangzi is being awake in each moment, being empty, kind of like in the hut from Gokhan's talk, in the grass roof hut. That person, are they doing something? Are they doing nothing? They do what they need to do in each moment. For a fish, There is no trailing clutter following their fins. Like birds in the sky, they leave no trace. But humans, we get caught. We attach and we cling. We get caught like a fish on the end of a hook. The self, this false idea, this recurring notion snags us. The worm looked so good, tempting our deep-seated sense of a personal, separate identity, that wiggling, jiggling worm hanging there, our desires, our aversions, that unruly me, mine. So hidden inside every me, mine worm is a barbed hook, and we get snagged, and we can't spit it out, and we suffer. We suffer because of this me, mine, and all that encompasses, I didn't do what you wanted, and you didn't do what I wanted, and all the challenge of relationship. That's where our practice is. How do we get rid of the hook? It's hard, right? It's hard. And we need help sometimes. It's painful. We have to let go of our fixed idea, our fixed notion, our habits, where the suffering simply continues. The best thing, of course, is not to bite the worm. So how do we not bite? We have to be aware and mindful and know what that worm looks like for us. Because we each are attracted to different worms. But when we see them over and over, we can slow down. Because we realize what is going to happen. I'm going to get snagged by that worm again. And as we bring mindfulness to it over and over, maybe we like see it and start to bite, but we don't get snagged because we know it will only bring suffering. And we will create harm for someone else. So finally, we don't bite. We don't take the bait because we have learned that those aren't our true desires. And we see them for what they are. And we don't bite. And we are so much happier when we don't fall into that same trap again and again. And we finally can stop taking the bait. And the gift is our heart opens and compassion arises. And we have so many more moments of enjoying, just like fish enjoy water. What is the water like where you live? Where I live, it's pretty nice, but there are weeds. Is it clear where you live? Are there a lot of struggles, or are you at ease? Actually, the good news is that you don't have to answer that. Because Zen teaches that whatever it is, wherever we are, all of our delusions, all of our difficulties are all Buddha nature. How could they be separate? Fish and water, human and the Tao, you and Buddha nature. Engaging with each difficulty is the path. Lotus flowers coming out of the mud are such a good symbol because they're not found high up in the clear air of the mountains, nor in the clear water of rushing brooks. They grow out of the muddy water and bloom. And the flower rises up high above our mistakes, our delusions. So no matter what we've done in the past, it doesn't matter. We just have to hold our intention. We don't need to be somewhere else. And we don't need to be free from our hindrances and our attachments. We just have to work to be seeing them. Hung Zhor says, you accord and respond without laboring and accomplish without hindrances. Everywhere, turn around freely, not following conditions, not falling into classifications. Facing everything, let go and attain stability. Stay with that, just as that. Stay with this, just as this. That and this are mixed together with no discriminations as to their places. There is no confusion as to the places of fish. Fish live in water. Birds fly in the sky. Humans find joy in the way. Buddha nature takes care of us. Our Zazen takes care of us. We only have to trust. We don't have to hold tightly. Harada Roshi, a contemporary Zen master, says, we must do this in a way that gives life to all others and to our own freedom simultaneously. We must understand this subtle interaction of all things, or it is not true Buddha Dharma. I like what he says because that question comes up. What about taking care of myself? Zen is not asking us to take care of all beings and cause suffering for ourselves. That's not possible. Generosity is this way, is the water where we swim. Generosity to ourselves and to all others. We always encounter obstacles. We slip on the ice. We have difficulties that we bring maybe even from before we were born. We do need to take care of ourselves. I find that a good question, several questions that I always try to return to are, why did I come into practice? What really brought me here? I remember Daido Roshi saying in the intro training that even if it wasn't some big problem that brought you here, when you look closely, there's an undercurrent of suffering. And that was just, I feel like that was so important to hear. Yeah, that's there. But this practice is somehow to find that joy so that the suffering transforms into a joy, into this undercurrent of joy that you can carry. And no matter what obstacle then, and the difficulties will arise, we can come from that place. And it makes it so much easier to meet a difficulty. So in these last 2 days of session, let's really try to allow each moment of our zazen to just be right here in accord with everything. It's so precious. I can't like tell you how, when I look back at so many years and think how like I didn't get how important like this practice really is, and how much it is that we need to bring to every period of zazen. It is our opportunity to enjoy and to find that enjoyment in our life and share it with others. Whatever struggles we encounter just sitting, we can be like a fish swimming, right, in limitless water, or a bird flying in the vast open sky, or a mountain grounded in the snow. Covered earth, a flame shining throughout the darkness, a human enjoying the Tao, a fully awake Buddha with infinite compassion. This is the joy the Buddha is holding out to us. This is the joy our teachers are holding out to us. A way to hold whatever we encounter and to respond appropriately. All we need to do is practice kindness and selflessness, selflessness. Well, after I wrote that, I thought, the Dalai Lama said that, didn't he? Have a book like, My Practice is Kindness. Just that. So simple. Kindness to an insect. Kindness to our Oreoke bowl. Kindness to everything we see. Fish enjoy water. Humans enjoy the Tao. Enjoying water, the fish stick to the pond and find all they need to survive there. Enjoying the Tao, people do nothing and their lives are fulfilled. This do nothing is our infinite compassion that saves all sentient beings. This do nothing is sacred work that fulfills our lives. And as we return to our zazen, maybe we can remember these words from Dogen. The activity of zazen is just like the fish swimming. Who can measure how many thousands and myriads of miles there are in zazen? Its journey is the entire body going on the path where no bird flies. This is also a mystical path. It's a journey without distance. And in the silence, we are not alone. We're with our Sangha, we're with the trees, the fish, all of life. This practice is to help us enjoy our lives.
Thank you for listening. To find out more about ZMM's programs, retreats, and residency, please visit us online at zmm.org.